Record. I want to record on the website too. I want to do it both ways so that we can make sure that it works.
I think you have to do it through the...
You just have to do like star 5 or something like that.
Okay, that's on the phone.
Okay, no. 5 star. Okay, well, whatever.
Okay, we'll see if we get a recording out of it through there.
Okay, so it is 6:03 on Tuesday, April 18th, and we are convening the Ruby Star Airpark Property Owners Association Board of Directors meeting. We have present Pete Stockstill, Ken Spalding, Jerry Hain, myself, Wendy Magris, all board members. We have John Thompson from Adam LLC. And we have in the room Ted Stanley. Welcome, Ted, to Arizona. And Barry DeSimone is on the phone. So at this point, I will call for any association members if they'd like to have the floor for their 3-minute comment period.
Can we do the comments at the end?
No, it's always at the beginning. Well, you can raise your hand during the meeting, you know, if there's a topic that you would like to make a comment on, that would be fine.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, well, we'll move forward then. And the next item on the agenda is the review and approval of the March meeting minutes. So I reviewed them and went over them with John today. There were a couple of additions that we made or changes to clarify some topics. Hopefully you've all got a chance to see them. No? Do you want to see them?
Doing taxes today.
Doing taxes? That's late. Okay.
Yes, she was.
Oh. How about everybody else?
I'm good, that's all.
Did you see them? Do you want to pull up your email from John? What?
Sign the returns.
Oh. You don't really want me to do this, do you? I'm signing the tax returns for the association while we're futzing with the meeting minutes. I really can't see the damn minutes with me. What am I supposed to date this as?
Today. Or do today.
Or do yesterday.
No, I did today.
Really?
Yeah, the 18th.
Why is that?
I think it had something to do with the Easter weekend.
Yes.
That's weird.
Well, it was because of Easter, and there was also another Washington, D.C. holiday. So since there was a Washington, D.C. holiday, it got moved to the next day.
So in John's...
Is this what you were after?
Yeah, I guess it'd be in the board packet too, but I can just point out for you since you haven't seen it. Well, why don't you just take a quick read? It's not. I just clarified a couple of things. I don't even remember what I clarified now.
And I
redistributed. Oh, it was about the tax appeal. That's what it was.
And I redistributed the packet.
Yeah, so if you look at the tax appeal portion of the minutes, because it wasn't quite right, down a little bit further. Right there. Oh. Go up a little bit. Right there. On the property tax appeal?
Oh, there. Okay.
That any information used to appeal the PLA taxes will be provided to the property owners was added. That's it.
Okay. I'm up to date.
Anybody want to make a motion?
I move that we accept March's minutes.
I'll second.
Any further comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Unanimous. And just give me a second. I'm going to finish these taxes.
Barry, are you able to hear us okay?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Just like you're here.
Did you
you're aware that if you have an appraisal, you can compel the assessor to go to the appraised value. Are you aware of that?
No, but I'll speak more. Let's talk about that when we talk about the tax appeals. There's an agenda item on that. Because I have more information to share. Just one more second. We've had numerous issues in getting these taxes out. Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right, the next item on the agenda is the Treasurer's Report. Gary, John?
Take it away, John.
Okay, March 31st, we had just under $36,000 in operating cash and just under $14,700 in reserve cash. In the last board meeting, we had made a motion to transfer $10,000 from the operating to the reserve account to bolster the reserves. That was made in April. It was supposed to have been made in March. I apologize for that. The person at the front desk that failed to make that is no longer with us at Adam LLC. As far as assessments go, we are $4,500 ahead in assessments, primarily because of prepaids. We have many more prepaids at March 31st for the second quarter dues than we had last year. We are $2,200 ahead in general administrative compared to budget. And that's primarily as a result of a timing difference with taxes. We didn't get the taxes done and paid for until April, so there's a $400 variance there. But the largest variance is in attorney's fees. We had budgeted $1,500 through the first quarter, and we only incurred $106. Air park expenses were $800 ahead of budget, $600 of which is just parts, tires, and miscellaneous. I believe that's a timing difference that will even itself out by the end of the year. So for net income, we are $7,500 ahead of budget, again, because of the prepaids and some timing differences in the parts, tires, prop, and accounting fees. And I believe the attorney's fees will, $1,400 will represent a savings for the year.
Thank you. I move to accept the Treasurer's Report as stated.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. As part of the Treasurer's Report, John, I have some receipts here for you. This one is a reimbursement to Ken that needs to happen. For that's having to do with the herbicide spraying. And these other three receipts are on the credit card. Also having to do with the herbicide spraying. And then, okay, Jerry's handing another receipt, or payment, I guess.
Yeah, backhoe.
For the backhoe usage, yeah. So Carl submitted a bill, not a bill, an invoice, basically, for a bunch of stuff the other day. And then here's more of that, you know, I won't say what it is.
Yep.
And then, this is the letter we got from Carolyn a long time ago, about not servicing collections anymore. Should probably go in the file, you think?
I already got a copy.
You do? Okay. All right, I think that's it there. So we'll go on to old business at this point. with the CCNRs. So Jerry, would you like to provide an update?
We haven't got an update to the CCNRs from last time.
Yeah, we've kind of stalled out a bit.
That's mostly because I was busy moving into the house,
yes,
and with everything going on, I just couldn't devote any time to it. Now that I'm actually here and thing, you know, April 15th/18th has gone by. I now have a little bit more time and might even get to work on those out there.
So I'd like the minutes to show a welcome to Jerry and Andrea Hain. They have moved in to their beautiful house. So welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you guys here.
It's going to be a much shorter commute home tonight.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yes, and I haven't been able to do my parts on the CCNRs either. The herbicide spraying and the tax appeals and other things have gotten in the way this last month, so hopefully. I think the only one who actually did his action was Barry. He provided an
update. Thank you, Barry.
So thank you, Barry, for being timely. It's appreciated. Okay, the next item is road maintenance. Maybe we can talk about the herbicide spraying first, and then I want to hear if we've heard anything from GMO. So it's been a long, rocky road on the herbicide spraying. It seems like there was a lot of work in getting everything kind of written down. The idea was to make it more easy to do by whoever happens to be doing it, and getting kind of all the formulas right and getting the right pressure and nozzles and all that stuff. But I think we finally got it. John did the first spraying a week ago Sunday. Things are just starting to turn. He did west of Ruby Air Park. So I don't think you didn't do Ruby Air Park, did you? Or did you?
I did one side.
One side.
And most of the other.
Yeah. So not the whole air park has been done yet. And then John had some challenges this last weekend and couldn't get back. Well, he did get back, and then I had screwed up and didn't have, I didn't realize we were out of the glyphosate. So
we had more. Windy too.
Yeah, that's true. But there's been just a...
Well, it was a wonderful scooter ride until my scooter broke down.
Yeah. So I did purchase all the glyphosate we could need. It's in the hangar. I purchased more of the MSO and the Mojave. They're coming in the mail. It should be here tomorrow or so. So by Saturday, there should be everything needed.
Great.
Anything on road maintenance? Do you want to call them, or should I? Or
my honest opinion is we look for somebody else.
Yeah.
He was called out here. He walked the area. He saw exactly what we wanted. This is the same situation that went on last summer. My opinion is he doesn't want the work. You shouldn't have to call back on a contractor either one, you know, multiple times. So my take on it is he doesn't want the work. I mean, that's my opinion, but maybe somebody else has another one.
You know, I'm suffering the same problem with my contractors. I'm having to give them call after call after call to get bids back. I don't know if it's the economy's approving and they're just busy, or I just don't understand it. But again, it's not something I've never experienced before.
And I guess it's, if they don't want the work, then call.
Look what's happened to the economy. They've brought their crews down to just minimum levels.
Yeah.
And now the work is starting to come in, and they just don't have the people to be able to perform the tasks.
So they got a great big backlog. And
right. And rather than turn the work down, they're just not going to call you back. So, they're just...
Yeah, the water's fine.
They're just going to hope that you're going to keep calling them until they finally have an opening to squeeze you in. Otherwise, you know, the right thing for them to do is say, I'm sorry, we can't take the work. But they want the work because they're not sure how long they're going to be working. They might been there. Build houses for many, many years once upon a time, and dealing with the contractors during up and down cycles was always a lot of fun.
I can't get bids in them. They're all weeks behind as far as start. Mm-hmm. So that validates what you're saying.
So here's another thought, just crazy thought. The biggest thing we need is some rip wrapping done. And I just, so this is Luke's friend Chad. We were speaking the other day, and he's looking for work, isn't he? Do you think?
Yes and no.
Is there some youngsters out there that, I mean, rip wrapping isn't hugely complicated.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, the young guys would do it, but there's not many like my son who know how to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about showing up every day and on time is kind of a daunting, you know, mindset to a lot of these guys. And I hate to say this, but I've actually hired several of Luke's friends to assist us. And Luke himself was the one who terminated them.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're having the same manpower problem as well, too.
And I draw the line on rip wrap. I'll spread it.
No, that's hard work. I was looking at her. Thoughts?
I personally think the attention needs to be looked at on that runway. Those cracks are not getting any thinner.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's our livelihood out there. And you need somebody that has messed with that stuff to do it right. And we had other contractors come in a year ago, which I don't have their contact names, whether they do that type of repair work on the...
I have all their names, so we could call... didn't want to have to go through that again.
I didn't want to, no, and I agree, but then again...
The other option, you know, is Magnum.
Magnum is expensive. I mean,
I know, but...
compared to... But they may be able to do that. I don't know if that's up there... in their area of asphalt work.
The whole idea was to be able to just pick up the
phone. Pick up the phone, get a guy in here that's done the work before that we've got a confidence in and have him come. But, I mean, the same thing happened last summer. And then he made mention when he came out here, well, I thought you were going to get a hold of me. No. Mm-hmm. You were shown everything that had to be done. It looked like, hello.
Maybe that's just the way he operates. I'm
going to
call him and see what the heck's going on. How's that?
No, because when he was all interested in getting the bids here, he was out here every week.
Yes.
And with his new bids or whatever the case was,
yeah,
to get to secure the money. So either it was like you guys say, that the business is too good right now, there isn't a call, you know, to come out for small jobs. Okay.
But given that we don't have other easy options, I'm thinking calling him and kind of rattling his cage, you know, and say, hey,
it's been over a month. I mean, yeah. I think...
And just say, you know, if this kind of behavior continues in the future, we're not going to continue with you. We need responsiveness and, you know, have that frank conversation.
Because he was going to give us a bid on the, edges of the runway.
Yeah, doing the concrete.
Concrete ribbon along the edge of the runway. Now that probably would have been some substantial money for him.
Yeah. I'm going to give a harsh conversation with him.
Yeah. In Espanol.
It doesn't come out as harsh in Spanish as it does in English. And then I'll resurrect the other guys and...
This is a backup.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather see us go with him. However,
can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Uh-huh. In
my own opinion, first of all, you need to be persistent, irrespective of the contractor that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And don't expect them to come back to you looking for the work. Be persistent with them. at the point at which you lose patience, a great question that I've used in the past that sometimes gets good results one way or the other is, who else can you recommend?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Maybe that's all that has to be said.
Right.
Hey, we haven't heard back from you, so we're assuming you don't really want this. Okay.
Well, that's why I made mention what I made.
Yeah.
I said, I mean, it's, but if business is that good, well, so be
it. It kills me. I mean, I see opportunity everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I see trucks on the road now with construction materials heading fore and aft. I mean, there used to be a time when you passed, you know, every other car you passed on the freeway was construction crew heading out in the morning. And right now we just don't have it, and people are starting to spend money. I mean, mm-hmm. my business has doubled since January 20.
That's amazing. That's good.
You know, just there's some confidence in the economy, and people are starting to plan and build, and we're going to be faced with the unfortunately the bottom feeders.
Mm-hmm. That's all we can afford, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Any other comments on this topic? So I have an action there. The next item is Freeport and what's going on there. So in the last month, really spent a lot of time with the Green Valley Council, and they're starting to get concerned, which is nice. We've been asking them to do something more formal, like write a letter or something like that. They haven't done that yet, but they did participate with us. We had Steve Christie, who's the Pima County Board of Supervisor for Green Valley. I contacted him a while back and set up a meeting with him, and Green Valley allowed us to use their offices, and their environmental lead and one of their VPs joined us as well as some Taryn, who lives on McGee Ranch Road, and the DeFazios joined as well. And we had a very good meeting, actually, and the Green Valley people were right in there in voicing concerns about impacts to groundwater and that sort of thing. And it got Supervisor Christie's attention, I believe. In particular, what got his attention is the lack of notice that went out with the whole deal. It feels like that just wasn't right. And I mentioned also that in the letter that Ruby Starr sent to the Corps during the comment period, we requested a public hearing, and we never got one. And so 6 weeks ago, I contacted them again and said, you know, when are we going to have a public hearing, you know, so that we can talk about this? And they replied back to me and said, we feel that we've gotten plenty of input and there is no need for a public hearing. So I sent that on to Supervisor Christie, and well, we'll see if anything happens. But one of the things that Mike has also been looking into is to try to entice our elected officials to get more involved, is to look at the money side of things. Because the Green Valley mitigation stuff, you know, the sulfate plume contamination from the tailings pond, you know, Freeport, it funds the mitigation for it. They've dug all these wells to capture groundwater and so on. But Freeport has themselves said that, you know, they've had financial problems, right? Especially in the last year. And there's been talk of them going bankrupt at times. So we're trying to take the tack. These assessments or these permits are granted. There's a piece of it that's what happens if there's a problem. And mm-hmm. they're supposed to put up a bond, you know, in case of a problem to fund any reparations. Arizona is one of the few states that allows them to not put up a bond and just say, trust me, I'll pay for any reparations. And so we're trying to bring that up to say, look, you've got these people here who have polluted in the past. They may pollute again, and they're not putting any more money towards it. And guess what? When that happens, if they're out of business, Pima County and the state is going to have to pay for this stuff. So they're starting to respond to that, but I don't know. Again, this is all just, needle in a haystack trying to find a way in.
It's a brilliant move.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it gets anywhere. But Christy's pretty interested. We're thinking about going to the next Board of Supervisors meeting. So there's five Pima County supervisors. We're actually in Sharon Bronson's district, and we had talked to her a long time ago and really didn't get much from her, but we haven't gone back to talk to her. And then there's a Democrat who has the north part, has Sowerita and north, who we haven't talked to either. And we started thinking, instead of having these individual meetings, perhaps we just go to the Pima County Board of Supervisors and have a few people from Ruby Star, have the people from McGee Ranch and Desert, Quiet Desert Ranches, and now Green Valley. I think we can get a group of five or six people to just go one after another and speak in the public comment time. So I guess I wanted to talk to you guys and say, are you okay with that? For us to just go grab a group and go up and...
Yes.
Anybody interested in going?
Depends when.
Yeah. Okay.
If I'm here...
When is that?
They have them every 2 weeks. Okay. So I'm... They had one today.
You have them on the docket, though, right?
No, you just like we have the 3-minute open comment period. You just have to show up and sign in and say I want to speak, and then they leave. You get 3 minutes, but that's why you have to choreograph with the people that we have to hit certain points. So we'll have, if we find the time to do this, we'll set up what points we want to make, and then give each person, you know, some points.
Can you post a call to arms, so to speak?
Sure. I have before, and I've gotten very little response. So the DeFazios usually respond. Carl Taylor has come to a meeting. You haven't either, have you? But you've not come to other times when Freeport's been here.
If you can get outside...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just a couple of people from Ruby Star, and then there's people in Elam's Valley. Bruce Elam and Taryn usually go to all of these things, and then we've got the Green Valley Environmental Committee now, and maybe one of their VPs to come. And that would be a nice round, well-rounded group, I think.
Has there been any other discussions with... Department of Environmental Quality on this sulfur plume that we suspect is coming up off the areas where they're breaking down the.
Are you talking about the groundwater? Or are you talking about air?
I'm talking about air in the air quality side of this whole project, this whole situation. You got the groundwater, which you're just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got the sulfur coming off from spraying over here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of something that folks kind of want to stay away from. I mean, to a point, I know I personally, you guys, Mike, there's been some other individuals that have sent in comments about that. Is it something worth even pursuing? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything about sulfur. We have filed reports in the last month, at least once, on the dust, because there was a day when it was really pretty bad. So we did file something. I'm learning all kinds of things about environmental rules, too. It's crazy. But apparently, it's not just, is the dust bad? They have to be able to, not analyze it, but prove that it exceeds the standard. And the way they have to prove that it exceeds the standard, apparently, is you have to have the sun to your back. You have to be looking. I mean, there's just all this stuff. And the geometry of the situation here is such that that would never work. You'd never get the sun at your back because you have this big thing when the wind is from a certain direction.
You don't get consistent winds all the time. So there are a lot of variations.
So they have come out and looked, and they couldn't say that they were in violation of any standard, is the bottom line. They've got the rules kind of... wrapped up. They wrote the rules, right? I mean, we all know the companies write the rules, hand it to the politicians, and the politicians, you know, try to pass it. It's the way, it's the way it works. So I don't know the answer to that. You should ask Mike that. Yeah. I don't know much
about
that.
Other than we're documenting the odors.
We're documenting everything as much as possible, because if things get really bad, you want to have it.
Yeah.
A couple of other points. I didn't realize this, but in December, there's two permits that the Arizona DEQ does. One is the surface water permit, and another is the groundwater permit. The surface water permit was actually approved and issued in December, so that's not so good. And then the aquifer protection permit is in work and almost done, and that's the one that, you know, the groundwater...
Who does that? DEQ?
ADEQ.
ADEQ?
Yeah. So, yeah. Mostly everything's getting bumped to ADEQ these days instead of PEMA. PEMA apparently was not doing things the way the mines wanted them done. And there was a big lawsuit recently. And PEMA took themselves out of it and gave it to Arizona. That's what I know.
Do they get any input from EPA?
Well, Mike's been talking to the lady writing the report, so I assume she has it. But the other thing I did, too, is there's a lady in Pima County who is responsible for conservation. So there's a Sonoran conservation something or other. And so she's in charge of that. I wrote her just this week to tell her, is there anything you can do to contact this person doing the APP and see if, you know, she understands what the EPA's recommendations are?
Because reading through that EPA report that was sent to the Army Corps of Engineers, there was some talk about...
They're very concerned. The EPA...
About water, about the groundwater, about the... what you just mentioned, what
yeah.
ADEQ is approving.
Right. So the EPA says, we're very concerned this could cause damage for hundreds to thousands of years. That was the statement in there. We recommend denial until an environmental impact statement is done. That's what the EPA said. And so we keep, you know, throwing that out there, and apparently it doesn't matter. Okay. Any other?
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go forward with the... Okay, next item is you, Jerry. Oh, no, it's John. Website update.
In regards to the financial sections, the newsletter and the minutes section... I went in and just cleaned it up and updated it all, so now we're in just sort of maintenance mode.
Good.
As new documents become available, we'll post them.
And the recordings?
Recordings are going up just fine.
Okay, so they should be there for anybody who wants to listen to them. Common area... We don't really have anybody working the common area right now, but I continue... So we got another request for a hangar a couple of weeks ago. I would like to get back to this. I know that Pete is interested in getting more space as well, and if we could find some way to finance it, it would be a wonderful thing.
There could be private investors on this air park.
I believe that is true,
too. And I can just let it go with that, because I've talked to several, and
what we need is just kind of a plan, you know, what we think, what we want.
Well, that was the business plan. Put a business plan together for this, and
that's just
it's kind of stalled out. Who's the right person that's got the expertise to do that?
Is
it somebody you have to hire? If it does, well, how much?
Yeah.
I've written... More than a few business plans in my career. I've raised hundreds of millions in funds for anywhere from venture capital, private equity, you name it, down to bank loans. So I'm happy to help any way I can.
Do you want to do a business plan for your services?
You want to do
like,
this? I mean, if there's a conflict, is there a conflict of interest if you were to take and do this, or if we were to approach you on this?
Not at all, because I'm not an investor.
Okay. How would that work? I mean, how would you be compensated?
Tell me what you want. I'll put some numbers together and tell you what you need.
But for your services to do that, it's outside of your contract right now.
That's right. I have my own accounting practice in addition to this.
Oh, you do?
I do Adams Counting.
Oh, do you?
Okay. On my paper.
So do you want to think about that and give us a proposal for doing a business plan?
Yeah, I can put something together for you in 6 hours.
We can give you the...
Charge you $300 for it.
We can give you the contacts. There's one there, and there's another one with the engineering company to get the background. What has to be done
we could first send them some documents.
Just give me the idea of what you're looking for and rough costs, and you know, we could do back of the napkin in 6 hours, and then that's a reality check, and then if you want to firm it up to show prospective investors, we can do that. You know, the first thing is we don't want to sink a lot of money into it and realize that it's just not going to work. It's not feasible.
A lot of people are, you know, with everything else going on, is people will hesitant.
But you know, that's probably the best, given the mine situation and other stuff, the way rural property isn't selling quite so much, you know, the asset is the runway.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And being able to rent hangars is a use that doesn't, the mines don't matter so much.
Good. Go back to that number two item, road maintenance. All
right. Sorry. Right.
Sorry
no,
about
I,
that.
I agree with you. Okay,
that's the biggest asset we got going here.
Do we want to make a decision here to see if we can move forward on this? I'll move to allocate $300 for John to put together a preliminary business plan. Does that?
We've got a feasibility study already done.
Yeah, that was
already
been
paid for.
But we don't have a business plan.
We don't have a business plan.
Do we have a layout for the common area? A proposed layout? I thought we had one.
Yeah,
I think we do.
We do.
One time. I've not seen it.
Okay.
Send me what you got.
I don't know.
How many hangers are you talking about?
I think we were only talking...
I think we start small.
Talking five, maybe. Right around five, initially.
So the idea would be to have plans for more, but only build out as need is shown.
As demand increases.
Yeah.
As money is on the table.
Yeah.
With no expenditures to say, I mean, that much coming out of the association.
We don't have money, so...
Yeah, I mean, my gut reaction is I see an economy of scale issue.
Yes, absolutely.
But... I mean, there was one that contacted her about looking for hangar space on the airpark.
And he's ready. He would
He's ready to. He's ready to buy. He's already. Yeah. He's ready to.
No, not buy. He's ready. He wants to rent somebody's existing hangar.
What kind of, you know? I assume this would be a rental issue.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think you can get?
We have there was a study done on, you know, looking at the other airports and how much they charge, and it's all written down.
Seem to be right around the three-ish area.
Mm-hmm. And not for out here.
No, that's
reasonable. Yeah. 3 years mm-hmm. is reasonable.
Yeah.
$300 a month.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's put up probably 50 hangars.
Back
east.
Do they pull in
or quiz them?
Okay, that sounds good. Because yeah. We want someone local, right? Because they know who the subs are.
Well, if you don't mind, if you don't mind giving me his number, and I can.
We also have the number of the guy who built out most of Ryan Airfield, which is a lot of hangars. He came and talked to us at one point, but I think we kind of irritated him, so. We haven't talked to him in a while.
He wanted to go.
Yeah, he was
ready.
Yeah. So, but that would be someone else to talk to.
But the big key thing, I think the item that's holding back a lot of this common area development is item number one.
Why?
The CCNR update.
Why?
Because you can't bring the money in.
Why do you say that?
Well, you can get it right from him.
That's for selling properties, I would think.
I think it's also for the that was the hang up on the on going forth with the development of the common area.
I'm not sure why that.
Well,
it would definitely help.
Well, sure.
It seems to be.
And it would me. It was something off the plate. There just wasn't time. There's.
Well,
but if we have somebody who can do it,
having sat in with numerous meetings with Barry
and Dan
White. The subject was the CCNR subject. I mean, that was it. That's where the hang-up is, if you're going to bring investors in.
No, we're close on the CCNRs because we got the basic, okay, then, and now we're working on the individual amendments.
Then maybe the time is now, is what she's saying. It's close. Common area, maybe we should start picking that load up again.
I think we should.
Well, it sounds like, yeah, if the CCNRs are almost done, you know, we have more momentum in trying to find, a way to move forward with the common area development. You know, again, it looks like that's what we're going to be doing moving into the near future here.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to establish that stuff. You know, we need to get people out here so we can basically, increase our road maintenance.
We need to get in even on that common area, the names, the people that you talk to get them on a list.
Right.
To get them on a
thing. I need to get that organized. That's something that
if you could start showing you've got people putting down.
And every once in a while email them something saying, giving them status. And,
put a deposit down.
Okay. So we're going to start spending a little more time on that. Hey, on the CCNRs, while I'm thinking about it, the basic document was pretty close. It might be time to send it to the other directors to...
I know, but I want to go through and review it one more time because I think there's still a couple things that
I'm just saying, let's not wait till next month. As soon as it's ready, let's get it out.
Yeah, I was moving.
Do we need to make any motion since we have a meeting going on now to... to move forward with getting a preliminary plan together? What do you guys think?
Are we that close to the CCNRs that
we put
this off a month? We would basically say, okay, CCNRs are done now let's pull the trigger on our business plan.
Well, basically the CCNR, the main document, really is done. I just need to review to make sure I don't have typos, and I've got everything in there. Like, we left the whole section out once. I want to make sure it's all right. And then there's, I think, around 4 or 5 different bullet items that we need to write. So a yes vote means you want to change it to the new wording. A no vote means it stays the same. And do that for each of those individual items. And once I've got that worked out, we're ready to go. I just flat have not had the time to do it.
So rather than embarking on writing up a proposal how to move forward with the common areas, it sounds like we should just concentrate and get those CCNRs done before we take the next step. Mostly due to your time. You know, you're working.
Well, I don't think it's Jerry and I spending time on common area, though. That's the thing. I'm
not going to look at common area until I get CCNRs done.
Right.
It would be you guys.
Well, and I'm okay with that, but, it'd be nice if it was... I don't know. What do you think? I think that we should just go ahead and start now?
Getting too much stuff on our plate?
Yeah, there's only so much hours in a day that we can devote to this stuff.
There's so much volunteer hours you got.
That's what I was just thinking. You know, just you know, I hate to say it, but you know, keep our load small because you know we promise a lot and we don't deliver anything.
That's,
I know, and the only thing I'm concentrating on is the CCNR.
Let's get that out of the way.
That's what
let's
I need to get done
because then there's not going to be any
that just
any
relieves
excuses,
all the issues.
Any excuses to why we can't get the common area going. All right. In the meantime,
if you could just send me the document.
Yeah, you
whatever
can
you have right now, and I can start thinking about it. I might come to the next meeting with some simple numbers, and either it's going to be a green flag or a no go.
Yeah, by the next meeting, I think it should be. You know, we should be able to say,
what we want to do. With respect to the CCNRs, my gut reaction is: finish the foundation before you figure out what kind of windows you want to put in the building.
Well, there's people who have a problem with not looking at the windows. So we're only going to look at 5 windows. The rest we'll ignore. Yeah. We got about 5 windows that we have to look at or people are not going to be happy and they're not going to vote.
With respect for to it. The CCNRs?
Mm-hmm.
No, CCNRs. What I'm saying is the CCNRs is the foundation of the entirety of what we're here.
Yeah.
And don't...
Yeah, it's my goal to get that done.
To get done. And then you can do the other stuff.
Yeah.
That
we've been trying to get this done for a while, and we've got something that I think...
Well, Ted's been part of
it. Yeah.
I'd like to talk to you after.
We'll get done. It's.
Okay.
Let's get it done.
Can you send the documents to John? So the feasibility study and then that last thing that was done last, like, August.
Yeah.
You guys had a meeting.
Yeah. Well,
you might search for, like, all that stuff.
You know,
I'll
on the website.
No, there's more.
Yeah, but
one
is included. Basic plan is on the website.
Sure,
I'll go in there.
We have many plans,
so
I don't know which one is on.
I'm talking about the
feasibility.
The where they had the plat, where they showed where they wanted to do the extra stuff, the hangars, where they wanted to put the hangars and all that. That is a picture on the website.
I know. I'm worried that's a really old one. That's not the right one.
No.
But
it's pretty close, even if it is wrong.
Okay. I don't know. I don't remember. All right. We're going to go ahead and... Is there anything else with common area that we need to discuss? Just the idea that it's time to get moving again, I guess, was good enough.
Yeah.
Backhoe. I had an action from last time to talk with the insurance people, and on 3 items, and I just got information like at 4:00 this afternoon. And unfortunately, I didn't print out the right email here. Okay, so there were 3 items. One was the backhoe operation. The other was the herbicide spraying. And the other one was, is there any issue with any businesses being, especially like you know, the horseback riding, there someone voiced a concern. You know, so are we liable if, or are we covered if, an incident were to occur in any of those 3 areas was kind of the question. And the answer came back, she's telling me that it's not the final answer, but the best they can tell is we don't have coverage for any of this. There may be some coverage on the backhoe that's limited to $36,000 for some reason, but the backhoe has to be listed on the policy and it doesn't look like it is. Otherwise, it's workman's comp. So the answer wasn't good. So with the response from the insurance agent, I think the next step is to talk to the lawyer and I think this is covered under our monthly fee to ask him about this, what liability does the association have for any of these things? So I'll do that in this next month.
Yeah, can you forward the response from the insurance company to me too, so I can take a look at it? I think they're under the impression that we have an employee that runs the backhoe, and that's not the case at all.
But we do pay, so I don't know what the difference is between an employee and an
independent contractor.
Yeah.
And we also have homeowners using it, so I'm not sure they fully understand.
Okay.
So I'll be happy to
take
the next step in that and jingle their phone.
Yeah, I'll send it to all you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was kind of the insurance side of backhoe matters. And then there's billing, which you got the latest bill.
We're up to date.
Okay, and then the third topic on backhoe was approved operators. We had a request from someone to, rather than have Carl or Jay, that Carl and Jay are approved operators.
What's that defined as, approved operators?
Well, when we first started deciding to use the, this was before my time, but to start using the backhoe, it was agreed that people in the association could rent it out from the association for their own use. But in order to limit, not liability, but
wear and tear,
that damage to it and so on, they identified two people who have significant experience with backhoes, and that is Carl and Jay Bennett. They both have a lot of experience. And so they were approved operators when it was first decided that the backhoe would be used in this.
Okay, so it's an association status board, discretionary person that can run it.
Right.
Is there any requirements as far as...
So it was a motion 6 years ago, and it's on the website that those are the two people who are approved. But it does say that others may be approved. Or there's some wording to that.
Others may be approved by a majority of the board.
Yes.
Suggestion.
Go ahead, Ted.
A suggestion. Since Carl's the main guy in the backhoe, right? So you say, Carl, you're the flight instructor. Anybody who wants to use this thing, they have to get a type rating from you. And they have to buy the type rating from you.
Yeah, I don't... We've thought of that.
I've questioned that.
And... that puts Carl in a very bad situation.
He didn't want to be there. Not that he didn't want to be there.
We didn't want to put him in there.
How do I say this? let's keep on going.
So the bottom line is, the question before the board is...
not everyone can be a flight instructor.
That's true.
Okay.
So the question before the board is, are we happy with the current policy? And should it be changed? Well, I'm thinking, I'll be blunt. I think it should be changed. I'm more and more concerned about liability and someone hurting either themselves, property, or the backhoe, just with the way it's used. And
I'm not understanding. You said that
backwards, didn't
you?
Did I? Yes, I'm thinking... you were actually trying to make an argument for keeping it to limited use.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
Okay. Well, that's what we're thinking.
That's what I was
thinking. Okay.
Because we're...
What did I say?
You said it backwards.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So let me try again. What I think is it's too much...
to maintain it with highly experienced operators only, no trainees.
I know what I said. The current policy is that we could approve with a majority of votes on the board, and I think we shouldn't. I think we leave it.
Actually, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I think, you know, that's an asset. That's an airpark asset.
Uh-huh.
As long as Carl is readily available and willing to provide, you know, his time and effort to do that stuff, I really don't want to wear out the tractor with somebody else learning how to be an operator. I mean, I can operate a backhoe. I've done it many, 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 many times. And I tell you what, Carl is so much more efficient and so much gentler on the machine, and it's going to be around a lot longer because we actually have a very limited amount of people do it. And, you know, geez, if somebody, you know, wants to use a backhoe for 3 or 4 days, for $500, you can get a backhoe just like it delivered to your property as much time as you want to put on it. So, you know, it's not like anybody's being put out by it. But that backhoe is here to maintain the air park in the event of a storm or to assist our ownership.
It's very nice to have it just for an hour or two here or there.
Right.
Carl, because you can't get to have something delivered, you have to pay that delivery fee.
Right. Carl keeps up the maintenance on that backhoe. He greases it. Well, of course, that's with maintenance. He has a sheltered place
for that
to do. I'm saying leave it alone.
That's just my thing. Now, if we find somebody else that comes along and has the experience and is willing to provide the same type of services that Carl is, then we may want to consider that. And we might... You know,
Him as another operator.
Exactly.
And if Carl decides he doesn't want to maintain it anymore, then maybe we have somebody else who's already an operator that's willing to maintain it as well.
So I like still the board majority to be able to make changes.
I'd say no change.
No change? So we have someone who would like to do that.
Well, would he like to, has he done it before? Does he have substantial experience to do this?
I would not say substantial experience.
That's where I'm at. I mean, you know, even me, you know, I would like to be able to just run over and grab it, stuff like that. But you know what? That just opens up a can of worms. You know, we you know, everybody's going to come out and say, well, I want to use it this weekend too. You can, but have Carl do it. Because the cost to have Carl do it is minimal.
Yeah.
And if he's available to do it, I don't think we should change it. I think we should just say right now we're going to use
It's
actually going to be cheaper for them because he's so much faster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so it sounds like what we're coming to is there's a very high standard to approve.
Yes, that's a very valuable air park piece of equipment, and I think we ought to maintain a high standard for it.
Absolutely.
How did that come about?
Because somebody has requested.
No, I mean, how did the backhoe come
out? Oh, it came from the bankruptcy from the developer.
Okay.
From the developer, and he purchased it just before everything hit the fan. And, you know, and we have needed it many times to patch up the dikes.
Yeah, it's been a lifesaver, really.
Do we have a formal list of assets that the association?
No.
Yes.
Not a formal list. I tried. Remember, I tried to compile it, and I never finished it. I ran out of time, and I didn't finish it. I have emails from Ken.
If you have anything, send it to me, and I'll combine it all, and then maybe I'll come out one day and do
the
a walkabout.
The stuff is everywhere. That's the other reason that we need a hangar in the common area. Because
we appreciate it for taxes.
It's cash basis, so it's gone.
Figures.
But, yeah, every time, we have stuff everywhere, and it's really hard to keep track of, and it'd be nice to have all the association machines, whatever, in one place.
And an inventory.
Okay.
And it'd be good for your reserve fund, too, when we do a reserve analysis, to take a look at those assets and find out maintenance, replacement, things like that.
Okay. Okay. I think we covered everything then in backhoe matters. So, okay, road sign project. This was something that Pete took on last time. And I did my little action, which was to send you a map.
yes, that helps. That helps a lot. So I have not completed it. I've not gotten to the planning stage and stuff like that. I figure I need 36 signs just off the top of my head.
Really?
Yeah, I need just to cover minimums. For instance, There's six areas where I think would benefit from a no truck turnaround slot. Okay, after looking at the different roads and stuff, and that, you know, that's one of them. The other one is I would like to have signs for the displaced taxiways at the runway.
Yes.
To basically, you know, kind of point to where the taxiway is, so people can see a sign rather than, you know, go, oh, the road stops all of a sudden. The sign will be directing them.
Yeah.
So we have six openings to the runway. We have actually six entrance areas to the runway. So I wanted to put six runway ID signs, you know, 0624.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then we have, you know, at some areas where we have some pretty long runs where people can get a good head of steam here. I was thinking about some 30-mile-an-hour speed limit signs.
Yes, especially one right up when you come in the
exactly.
airport.
Exactly. So like I said, I've identified, is this 2666 at all? Just,
okay.
Just kind of, it just seems to be laid out that way. And then I was also thinking about putting together six construction direction signs with, you know, two of them pointing straight ahead, two on the left, two on the right, and mounting.
So they're reusable.
Right. And so the idea is that for the construction signs, I basically was just going to put, like, you know, a little tripod on the end of it so they don't blow over. They just sit right on the ground, and they're movable and portable.
Yeah.
And also have a blank space on there where somebody could take a line and just, you know, kind of with a Sharpie, you just draw on, you know, whose name and whose lot number.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be reusable.
Be great to have a hangar to store those.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we're going to need more. I mean, I'm optimistic. I think that we're going to have more construction traffic there. So my thought was is that, you know, keep all these signs under 24 inches in height and mount them, you know, pretty much permanently with, you know, stakes in the ground and try to keep them, you know, at a distance where they're visible to the road surface, but they're not going to be interfered with by lowing aircraft.
So our current signs are 24 inches?
I think they're a little higher than 24, actually. Okay. With a stop sign on top of them, they look more like about 30 to me.
Yeah, I get worried.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, and then I was hoping to go over to HMS, Hardware Metal Specialty, and actually price, you know, aluminum, basically aluminum sheet metal. Aluminum sheet metal, and I was, you know, the reason I want aluminum so they don't corrode, they'll last a long time, and then I was going to actually train my helpers or let them learn how to apply more paint detailing and stuff like that. I was going to try to paint them up and install.
Oh, you do it yourself.
Right. Right. So, you know, we got the painting equipment.
You have to get
like
stencils or whatever.
Yeah, I got basic stencils, but you know, there's an art to laying fine line tape down and painting. And the more practice, the better. So anyway, so I don't have any or anything like that. You know, and my thought was, if I can, you know, purchase all the materials and stuff like that, and volunteer the time to put them together. But you know, the signage and stuff. You know, I personally don't like just silver backs of signs. You know, my plan is to basically paint the back sides of them, you know, brown.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a more neutral color. I don't like white.
Yeah, tans.
The speed limit signs and stuff like that. I was thinking about, you know, making them look very similar to our road signs out there, but not using white and black characters. Although the taxiway display, the taxi displacement, and the actual runway signs, I would like to stay with the typical international colors of black and orange, black and yellow for the taxiway displacement,
mm-hmm.
and the red and white for the runway. But that's about as far as I've gotten.
Sounds like pretty far. Okay.
You're talking all permanent signs?
Permanent signs. Except for the runway, I'm sorry, except for the construction signs. They will be portable as we need them.
I got a couple of suggestions. For some of the signs, if you're going to paint them, I don't know whether it works or not, but if you put glass beads into some of the paint and you throw it on there, then becomes reflective at night.
Hmm. What type of paint do you have to use for that for it to be able to show through the film?
Film?
Yeah, the paint basically goes on as a opaque film. And if you put glass beads in it, it might rough up the surface, but I don't know if you could actually get the surface to be reflective.
Well, no, but I think the way you do it is you paint it first, and then before it dries, you just sprinkle it with glass beads.
Oh, okay.
And then the glass beads are basically glued to the surface.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking for, you know, reflective signs.
It's an idea. You have to feed it through and see if it has merit for yourself.
Yeah, I might try that. I mean, I got glass beads. I got all kinds of deposit material, glass and stuff. But it might be interesting to play with that. But I don't like road signs that you know, you ever see the setting sun and all of a sudden the entire roadway lights up when the sun hits it and stuff like that, or headlights and stuff. We don't have that much traffic here at night.
Okay. Okay.
You know, if there's a sign there, the headlights will hit it. But
yeah,
you know, I don't think we need to.
We'll have our high beams on too.
Yeah, we don't need to have a highway grade. That's my personal, but we don't need to have a highway grade. But I ought to play with that. The last week's thing.
It could be fun.
Because one of the things I would like to do one in the future, when we get to the point where we can actually talk to the county about night operations and stuff, rather than putting landing lights per se out there on the runway, I would actually like to have a highly reflective, basically, you know, almost just like a little reflector, a little triangle pad, you know, on the sides of the runway. So when your landing light's on, it will just look like you just lit up the whole world right there. Mm-hmm. And blue for the taxiways.
It's like they do down the center line of the freeways.
Exactly. It's basically just a reflector. You know, put the threshold with red at the end and green at the approach ends. And, you know, it's all done on a little triangular piece of metal that has a nail driven into the ground to hold it in place. But that's a little more.
Was there something else there, Ted?
Yeah, the only other thing, on the temporary signs, it's cheap. You can buy it in big sheets. It's a magnetic material. It's got a white face on it, so you can paint your sign up, and then all you got to do is just slap it onto a piece of steel, and then you can, and if you don't like what that sign says, you can just pull it off of there and stick something else on it.
Yeah, that magnetic strip is several dollars a foot.
I'll give you a source that's economical.
I'd like to see that.
Nick MasterCard or is there?
Okay.
Okay.
Do it offline.
Just for kicks and giggles, too, give me a list of signs you're looking for and some measurements, and I'll get a bid.
I was hoping to have them, you know, drawn up so and sized and stuff like that, the font. But
and I'll bid it, too, and you might decide that the bid is good enough or it's not worth your time and hassle.
Okay. We'll do.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. The next item is a property tax appeal. So I started looking into that and realized that I was not going to have the time to do it myself. So then I went ahead and I called a company that John recommended that does this all the time, and they go and they represent you in court and everything. So I called them up, and it turned out that they declined because our... It's an interesting thing. I was looking at the full value, and it was like $52,000 for some of the properties, and the limited value was only like $35,000. Well, it turns out that there was a statute change in 2015, so now they do the taxes based on the limited value instead of the full value, and so the limited value is already very low on these properties. And so there was no need to do a tax appeal. But that was interesting news. And the other thing to note is that this company, I found out what the rates were. It's a $75 flat fee. They would have only charged that once because these properties are all similar. And so they would have had to do the research only once. So it would have been a $75 flat fee plus 40% of the savings for the next 2 years is what they would have charged. Still would have been... probably worth it to do. So it wouldn't have cost us anything. Well, it would have cost us the $75.
These are all unapproved lots? That's what they're saying, that the value of the unapproved lots were not worth?
So for the five association lots, our current valuation is okay because we get taxed on the limited value. I don't know.
Which is the same as...
So there's the full value, right,
yeah,
which is kind of like market value. And then the limited value moves more slowly. They do kind of a moving average thing with it. So at one point, they might have been $30,000, and every year they go up a little bit. But it's not having these big fluctuations like the full value does.
Hmm.
I don't know if I'm speaking clearly.
Well, here. Yeah, that makes, yeah, makes sense. I just, it's kind of curious. I mean, for instance, you know, we just purchased the Copper Cave lot over here, and those taxes are $1,300 a year higher than mine.
For which lot?
The Copper Cave versus my lot down here.
But it's because improved.
That's because it's a hangar.
Because
and
it's improved.
Not an Olmont.
Hmm.
Yeah, so for a house, it's going to be, like our house, Mike is I think he's going to appeal the house even, because that's where you get the big differences.
Okay.
So you should look at what your limited value is on your house. I mean, on your, on whatever property, and see what you think about it relative to market value.
Okay.
But for these, there was no reason. Do you need these valuations? Or the files.
Of the store of it.
So, in the end, I did nothing. We're not going to do anything because it was already pretty low. Mm-hmm.
Do you get the property tax statements, too?
Yeah, they come to me. We should really do a change of address, too.
Yeah.
They come to the association mailbox. I'd like to get rid of the association mailbox, too. So, I don't know if
that would give the DeFazio's a mailbox.
Exactly. That's why I want to do it. you asked, we had talked last time about combining the common area to reduce the tax burden as well. And so you'll, when you look at that, you'll see the valuation on each one is only $500. The common area apparently is taxed very, very low. So I'm not sure it makes sense. But it'd be interesting to know what your other properties, your other associations do.
It's depends on, you know, for a 350 single family home development, it can make a big difference.
No, I'm talking about combining the common area.
That's what I mean. Makes a big difference in taxes. So instead of getting, it takes, its multiples reduced.
Not following.
Well, if you have four properties that are adjacent to each other,
uh-huh,
you know,
each at $500.
Each at $500, and you combine them, it goes to $500.
Yeah.
So it multiply reduces. Yeah. It's not.
So I'll have to look at the map because there's not that many that are contiguous.
Okay.
But anyways, so I don't think there's a big rush on that. That should be kept on our. Let's
yeah,
keep
just
looking at it.
Yeah, there's no rush on it because the time tip that would never fit into this tax season, property tax season.
No.
So we've got the next year to do it.
Yeah. We should try not to forget that one. Okay, we're on to new business now. So we, Glenn Ballard did submit his resignation last month, and we designated Pete as the VP at the last meeting and decided to talk about the vacant seat today. So what I'd like to do is have a discussion and see if we have a consensus on what to do with the vacant seat.
I'd say we should let it stay vacant until the next time the election is due. And
so
let everyone elect instead of us selecting someone. Let it be a normal.
Yeah. This I should have pointed out that Glenn's term does end at this year. So
right.
It's only a few months that this appointment would be
right,
for.
So.
It's a steep learning curve, too, for the new director with the CCNRs in process. It's a big burden to stick someone into a seat and make them come up to date on these complex issues.
Any further? How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I thought our discussion last time was,
I agree.
It was good. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we leave this, we operate, that the association will operate with. Let me back up. So our bylaws state that the board of directors for Ruby Star must have between 3 and 5 directors. So we're perfectly fine to operate with 4. So I move that we operate with 4 directors for the remainder of the year, and the elections will bring us back up to 5 for next year.
I second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. Did you get the motion done? Of course, you've got a recording you can go back to.
No, I've got it.
Regular board meetings. Last month, actually, Ted made a very good suggestion, and that is to discuss changing the time. 6 o'clock is dinner time, but on the East Coast, it's 9 o'clock, which is not too comfortable. So, do we have any thoughts on...
Well, for the summer months coming ahead, I don't mind getting out of the heat at 5 o'clock in the afternoon if you want to move it up an hour.
I was actually thinking going at least 2, maybe to 4 o'clock, because then that would be 7 o'clock.
No, you're out of here and have a real dinner.
Exactly, because if you bring it to 4, then you can have dinner at 6:30.
Gives you more incentive to get the meeting done, so I like the 2-hour change, yeah. Bring it to 4.
Does it work for you?
It'll make it work.
Okay. I don't think we have to make a motion on this. This is just a kind of procedure we've been following.
Well, when you establish a regular meeting, it needs to be announced. You know, the regular meeting will now be held on the second or third Tuesday that we have, but I can't remember now.
So that'll be
at 4. That'll be in the minutes.
At 4 o'clock.
So yeah. Next month will be an exception, and then after that it'll be the regular.
Right, yeah. Okay. So I'll just put it in the minutes that the regular meeting will now be held.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't go out. The problem is...
I need every hour of daylight.
You know what? When you send out marches, so tomorrow, let's say, when you send out the approved March minutes, also put a note in that email saying that future meetings will be held.
You bet.
That is it. Is there any other discussion or topics for next month that we would like to put on the agenda?
Yeah, I have a question if I can.
Sure.
What's the status of the Rusty Pilots program?
So Rusty Pilots has kind of been co-opted. I guess Miranda has a big event coming up here in about 2 weeks. They're planning like 5 days in a row of activities, and they have basically put together workshops, and basically AOPA has said that they are going to work with that group since they've got organization, they got places to go and stuff like that. So unfortunately, this year it doesn't look like, for a near-term Rusty Pilots thing, I don't think it's going to happen here. What happens, Marana, is kind of up for debate. Some of us think that it might be a big fizzle, and then there might be another opportunity for us in the fall. But it remains to be seen. It doesn't. The organization of what's going on in Marana doesn't seem to be too well choreographed. So right now, Barry, I just kind of let them have it, because AOPA was very happy to have, Tucson Aero Services backing and all the other people that were, you know, looking forward to that event. Although I have not heard a whole lot about it outside of just my cadre of friends that play in this stuff.
So we could check.
And to answer your other question, the hangar property is assessed at 15%. A home is assessed at 10%.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That's the difference then. Very good. Thank you, Ray.
And then number three, on an air quality issue and a water quality issue, about 20 years ago, we worked with the Sierra Club up in Phoenix, and that was pretty successful. They knew the ropes about how to get through these problems.
Yeah.
Okay, Barry, just so you know, the Marana Expo is May 3rd through May 6th. And I'll have the STEMI there.
Cool. Thank you, Barry. Anything else?
Barry, suggestion.
Nope, thank you.
For soliciting the assistance of the Sierra Club sounds like a worthwhile effort.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I've gotten information from numerous people, and there's probably 30 people, 30 organizations that could help. And I just don't have time doing it myself. I'm maxed out completely, and I've done the best I can, and if anybody else wants to hit other organizations, I would love it, and I could help give you materials, but I just can't do anymore.
That's okay.
Yeah. It is a good suggestion. I'm not saying it's not.
Okay.
That's all I have. So if there's no other comments, then I will move to adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned at 7:23. And we will go into a closed session at this point, so we'll say bye-bye to Ted. It was
and
nice
Barry.
To see your face.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.